good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And, oh, it's been a beautiful summer week here at the Radio Ranch. We hope that you are having a great summer as well. Here we are this August 25th, 2016, almost finished with August. Whoo, where does it end? Well, we'll talk a little bit about some current events today. And I want to share with you why we have failed with all our many movements as a people. We'll talk a little bit about that, but let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Be with us tonight. We ask you, Lord, we praise you first and foremost for your blessings, for your grace, for your mercy, Lord, for your loving kindness, Heavenly Father, that you shine down upon your people, upon your children. We thank you for that, Lord. Guide and direct us, and Lord, we do ask for your blessings, Lord, but Lord, we know that they go to the people that are obedient to you, and Lord, that it's pleasing to you when your children do what you tell them to do, when we are obedient to your word, Lord, and so help us to do that. Help us to read your word, to understand your word, to apply, not only to believe it, Lord, but to apply it to our lives, to change from the sinful ways of the world, Lord. To be able to be in the world, but not of the world. And so, Lord, help us to abide by your word, by your law. And, Lord, help us to be that shining light that others may see, Lord, not just for our blessings, but, Lord, that others may see and may learn and may change and repent and return to you as well. Lord, we pray all this to your glory. I ask you to be with me this evening, Lord, in this broadcast to, Lord, to be able to reach your people, to be able to tend your sheep. To feed your sheep, Lord, to encourage them, to open their eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Father. Increase our faith. Lord, we believe we have faith. Increase our faith. We pray all this to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And the program, I call it 7x70. Of course, that comes from Matthew 18. Where we read the parable of about forgiveness. Not really, and it is a parable. The Apostle Peter is talking with the Lord Jesus, and he's asking about forgiveness. And that's an important part of our life today. We've kind of gotten away from it, unfortunately, it seems like, this forgiveness, but there's quite a bit to it. I encourage you, we're not going to read all of it, but Matthew 18 talks about rank in the kingdom, talks about stumbling blocks, prayer, and forgiveness. And, you know, if you get nothing else out of this broadcast, listen to the words here. Verse 21, we'll read a couple of verses. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And I had read a commentary one time that said, you know, Peter was probably thinking pretty highly of himself right here, because he said, Lord, I'll forgive my brother 7 times. And you think, well, why did he say 7? You know, was that once a week or just 7 times in a day? But the custom of the day was that you would forgive someone 4 times. And after that, that was it. You know, it's like 3 strikes, you're out. Well, it was different rules back then. It was like 4 strikes and you're out. And so the rule of the day, the custom of the day, was to forgive 4 times. And so Peter was probably thinking pretty good. Hey, I'm ahead of the curve. I'm doing better than the people of the day. And so, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And so Jesus gives an example here of forgiveness. And we have to remember that we have been forgiven much. I have been forgiven much in my life. And so in turn, I should forgive much. And that's the parable. I encourage you to read from verse 23 all the way down to verse 34 and verse 35. Read through that. The rest of this, Matthew 18, the last half part of it. the last half of Matthew 18, about forgiveness. This is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commands us to do. Okay? It is. And to have this spirit about us. You can read also about it in Mark 11 and Colossians 3. Colossians 3:12. If you want to look at some additional references on that. But that's where the program title comes from. It has to do with forgiveness. And part of it that we are not turned over to the torturers. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be turned over by God Almighty to the torturers. Now, if I'm tortured for Christ, that's one thing. But I do not want God Himself to turn me over to the torturers because I was disobedient to His word. And obedience to His word is what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, because that kind of explains why we failed in our movements here in this last generation or so, and why things continually get worse and worse, and we don't see them getting any better. You look at the headlines today. Here's some current events, and this is kind of a positive in light of current events, and that's that Texas, the transgender rule that required all schools to have transgender bathrooms, they blocked it in Texas. Transgender rule blocked in Texas. And the ruling, at least this week, now next week it'll probably change, and it's absolutely ludicrous that transgender, see, there's another reason that this is in the headlines. This was in the headlines just on Tuesday on the USA Today. Transgender rule blocked in Texas. And so you read through it, and it, you know, this federal judge blocked that federal judge and the federal government in Texas, where they required you to have transgender bathrooms. And whoever could go into whatever bathroom they wanted. You know, we've talked about it, the mess with Target inviting these perverts in and saying that they were all for this. But there's another reason that you see this in the headlines. And that's because the enemies of Christ, those that deny that Jesus is the Christ, those that hate Him, and those that hate you for saying that you follow Jesus Christ, for saying that you are a Christian, for leading and living a Christian life, those that hate you, see, they love this transgender. They love anything and everything that is filthy and perverted. And one of the reasons for having this in one-inch high type across the headlines is to get you to think about it. And the more they know that they know us, that they know us for the sheep we are, the more they can get us to talk about it and to think about it, the more normal it becomes, the more part of our society that it becomes, to where it's acceptable. Abortion was like this 30 years ago. I graduated from high school in 1983. And you know, in the early 80s when I was in high school, yeah, the abortion was there. Yeah, we heard about it. But you know, it was kind of hush-hush. It wasn't promoted as a form of birth control. It wasn't just something that everybody did. It was as much a sin then as it is now. But it wasn't it wasn't just part of society, but it is today. And one reason is certainly because we've degraded as a society, but the other reason is that it's been in the newspaper, it's been up, it has just become part of our everyday conversation. It has become acceptable. Homosexuality is the same way. It was as much a sin in 1983 as it is now in 2016. And looking back, when I graduated from high school with over 300 people in our high school class, wasn't a very big high school, knew most everybody, at least in our class. And, you know, come to find out afterwards, I found out that there were two that I went to high school in the graduating class of 1983 that came out as homosexual later, claimed that. And I know of one in the class behind us. So that's three out of about 600. But you know, in 1983, they were in the closet. I didn't know that they were, that they had those feelings or whatever you might call it. I didn't know that they went that way, you might say, because they didn't promote it. They didn't have the queer club after school that they were members of. They didn't have parades that they marched in. They didn't have a day, a coming out day, a rainbow day, whatever you might call it, the perversions that they have today. And so, yes, it was still a sin. But see, it's so much more acceptable now, 33 years later. So much more acceptable. Why? Certainly, just as abortion is more acceptable, because we've degraded as a society. We've turned further and further away from God, but also because it's been in our face for the last 30 years. It's been in the newspapers. The Supreme Court's talked about it. The presidents have talked about it. The county commissioners, the city commissioners, the school boards, the governors. It's been in our face more and more. It has become just more acceptable the more we can have it in front of us. Still sin. It is still sin. Anyway, that's current events. You know, the filthy Muslims and Islamists using 12-year-olds. Here, the other headline in this USA Today from the 23rd of August, and I'm sure we've seen it this week, a child is restrained who holds out his arms as a belt of explosives is removed Sunday in Kirkuk, Iraq. A 12-year-old. You know, I had a son turn 12. What, just last week? My youngest son. And when we see how other cultures deal with children and what other cultures think of children, which is not very much. Wake up, America. Wake up, any people that would dare do something like this to a 12-year-old, strap an explosive vest to him and tell him to go walk into that crowd of people and kill yourself for Allah. This is not of Christ, people. This is of the Antichrist. This is of Satan himself, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So am I prejudiced against those that want to steal, kill, and destroy? You damn right I am. Because I love my Lord, I love my God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I love my neighbor as myself. I do my best to anyway. I fail miserably at it, but I try. And I love my 12-year-old son. I love my God who gave me my 12-year-old son. I love all my children. And I love my God for giving them to me, for having me be the steward of those children. They're not mine. I call them mine, but they're mine for a while. I'm just the steward to try my best to train them, to teach them, to raise them up in the way they should go. And I love them, and I love my God that would give them to them. And I hate anyone or anything that would dare come against them. I hate them with the utmost hatred, anyone or anything that would dare come against or try to harm what God has given me and what God has entrusted to me. Wake up, America. Wake up. All you hear is this sloppy agape, love, love, love. I love. Believe me, I do. I love my God. I love my family. I love my neighbor, and I love my neighbor's family. And if I love them, shouldn't I hate those that would try to kill them? That would try to destroy them? And if you don't hate the ideals and the people and the small g God that would approve putting bombs on a 12-year-old and telling him to go kill himself and kill what they call infidels, if you don't hate that, then you are in sin. If you don't hate that, then you do not love your God, and you do not love your neighbor as yourself. It's as simple as that. You cannot love God, and you cannot obey his commandment, which Jesus Christ told us to love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, and everything else hangs on that. If you do not hate those and their small g God, that would put a bomb on a 12-year-old and tell him to go kill himself. If you don't hate that, you do not love Jesus Christ. It is as simple as that. It truly is. Gonna have a song. Excuse me. Gonna have a song. We'll be back right after this. Brother Shananiah, Paul, Fire on the Mountain. A lot of truth there. Comes right out of the scriptures. You know, if you'll read your word, folks, you'll know that that comes right out of the scriptures. That's exactly what it is. Turn before you die. That is the message of Jesus Christ himself, the gospel message. We see it. Psalms 119. Is in our Bible reading for today. Just going to read the first couple verses here. You got it. Psalms 119 is the big chapter. the big chapter. You can read through it. It's a big one. Just read the first 88 verses today. That's almost like a couple of books. But even the first couple verses here. Psalms 119, verse 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless or complete, or having integrity is how it's explained away, what that blameless means. Having integrity. Blameless doesn't mean perfect. You have to remember that. Doesn't mean perfect, but you know what it does mean? It means forgiven. It means forgiven. Turn before you die. Repent and be baptized, like you heard in the song, like you read in the Word. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. That's encouraging to me. That lets me know that, oh Lord, if I will continue in your ways, perfect? No. Forgiven? Yes. And pray every day. I've prayed today. I hope you have. I hope you've prayed on that full armor of God. I hope you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, praising Him, asking for His protection, deliverance, forgiveness. Hope you've prayed for the saints, prayed for us here at Scriptures for America. Because know that we've prayed for you. We've prayed for you, the remnant. We do hope and we covet your prayers. Said earlier, we talked a little bit about some current events, but we said earlier, we wanted to talk to you about why we have failed. Because, you know, as a people, we have. Oh, we've failed. We've tried our different movements. Oh, the Tea Party. The Tea Party was, oh, that's just, you know, they drew millions over the last several years. Millions and millions. You know, has it gotten us out of the mess? No. No, it hasn't. The Patriot Groups. Oh, the Patriot Groups have been around. You know, we have messages where Pastor was speaking at Patriot Group meetings 30 years ago. The Militiamen, the Michigan Militia, the Northwest Militia. Have the Patriot Groups saved us? Have they got us out of this mess? No. Not a problem being a patriot. But the Patriot Groups and the movements. No. How about the white nationalist groups? Oh, the Aryans, the Vanguards, and all those. No. And there's a reason. There's a real good common denominator that all these groups have. And no, it's not that they're run by Jews, because many of them aren't. They might have been infiltrated later. But there's another common denominator that all these groups have that have come up, that people have oh, well, this is what it's going to be. And you know, Trump, you can throw him right in there with the mix. He might sure be better for the economy. He might get some jobs back. But you know, Trump is just a man adding to the list. Now, we've asked, and we continue to ask, that whoever is elected has a Saul to Paul Damascus Road experience and conversion to Christianity. In 3 days, let him be blinded, O Lord Jesus. Let whoever gets elected to be the president of this United States of America, Lord, let them have the same experience that Saul of Tarsus had, Lord. Let them be blinded. Let them hear you cry out, why do you persecute me? And let them say, who are you? And reply to them, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And let them repent, and let them be blinded for 3 days, Lord, as your servant Saul was. And then, Lord, let them be converted. Let them fast and pray and be converted, Lord. And then repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then, Lord, let them strive as Paul, who he was then called, Lord. Let them strive to serve you and to honor and glorify you and to tell others of you. And lead this nation, Lord, as a Christian nation, Lord, with a Christian ethic and Christian laws. And yes, all are welcome, and all will be welcome, as long as they follow your word and your way and your law. Let that be, Lord. Let that be our prayer this election year. Lord, it's coming up fast, just a few months away. But Lord, let our trust be in you. Let our hope be in you, Lord, and you alone. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, we haven't recognized the cause of our woes. Why are things? You know, and it's not the first time. We're going to read a little bit out of the book of Judges tonight. And if you go back to the book of Judges, this is, you know, just to set the stage, Joshua, right after Joshua, hey, we're way back in the Old Testament, but Joshua has died. The children have grown. Now, Israel, under Joshua, they did pretty good. They did pretty good, but Joshua's gone, and so what do the people do? They do just what we've done today. They turn to their own ways. They go to serve any other god except God. Every other small g god, and here Israel is now serving the false gods in the book of Judges. And, you know, they are doing it just like all the other people around them. Anything goes. Oh, you want to be like Sodom and Gomorrah? Be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, you want to marry your dog like they do in California? Marry your dog. Same sex, transgender, whatever, bisexual, who cares? Do it. If it feels good, do it. And that's what they did then. And that's what we're doing again now. I hope you can see the parallels, just like all the people around them. And so God says, you want to be like them? I'll have them come in on you. And that's just what happened. And the people that come against them, you can read through it in Judges 2, starting in verse 11, it says, then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. See, our God is a jealous God. He's jealous for his people like we husbands are jealous for our wives. Our pastor's sermon this past Sunday, boy, that he addressed it. It was the sin that had become respectable. And we got it sent out on DVD Church. And we'll have that CD. We have that CD available if you'd like. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's actually in the tithing series. But he points out how we have done this, how they did it then, and we have done it now. We serve these other gods. And we're not to. It is as simple as that. Well, you know, in those days, the people cried out to God because of the oppression, because of the people that had come against them. You read on through it, verse 14, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so they could no longer stand before their enemies. And you know, folks, we're halfway there. We are more than halfway there today, because we have been plundered. As in the days of Judges. We have been plundered. We have been given into the hands of the plunderers, and they are plundering us 9 ways to Sunday. You thought dealing with the Russians was bad. The Chinese own half this country. They own our debt. They own our children's debt. We have been plundered with a capital P. And guess who's next? And the next verse, he sold them into the hands of their enemies. We have been sold lock, stock, and barrel to the highest bidder. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, O Lord, you sell your people cheaply. You do not profit from them. And that is so true. We have been plundered. We have been sold. And verse 15 says, wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken and as the Lord had sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed. Folks, look around. We are severely distressed today in America, from sea to shining sea. Whether it's the economy, whether it's health, whether it's taxes, whether it's the foreigners that have invaded us, in every state, city, and county, whether it's what our enemies, the leaders in our government, want to do to us. There were school just started, and there were millions of children sent home the first day of school because they didn't meet the new, untold and unheard of vaccination regulations. How about that? Plundered, sold. Everywhere we go, the Lord is against us in this nation. Why? Well, as it happened in the book of Judges, you read through it, the people cried out. Some of them did, and the Lord raised up judges, hence the name for the book. It tells it. That's what this book of the Bible tells of. So God would raise up. He hears his children's cry when they do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. When they, in humility, they repent and return to him, he hears them. He raised up, you know, he brought judges. He provided judges to deliver. He brought up Othniel. That was Caleb's nephew. See, they weren't that far removed from those Old Testament beginning people. He rose up Othniel to deliver him, and that worked for a while. He rose up Ehud, I think is how you pronounce it. He was the left-handed one. Remember, he sneaks in to the evil king, and hey, it's a great story. Thrust the sword into the evil king's belly because he hated him with the utmost hatred. Oh, he delivered Israel that time, and he was blessed by God for killing that ungodly king because it was of God, because the people had repented. Praise God for Ehud. Oh, Lord, raise up Ehuds again today when your people repent and return to you. And then Shamgar was another one. See, we don't know these names. I'm not as familiar with them as I should be. But they were deliverers of it. They were answers to prayers of the people. When the people prayed and cried out, these were the men that God raised up to deliver his people. And not just men, Deborah and Barak. Yeah, Barak, B-A-R-A-K. Way back, delivered them from the Canaanites. You can read about that in Judges 4. No, it ain't got nothing to do with the Muslim in the White House. And yes, it was Deborah, a female, a prophetess, that God Almighty used. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't change when the Apostle Paul says, I don't allow a woman to teach in church. Doesn't change that one bit. God used Deborah the prophetess to raise up and to deliver Israel. And you can read the song of Deborah and Barak in Judges 5. It's a song of praise. It's a song of praise. And that's what we are to do, to praise him. And when we do that, we are blessed. Well, then that brings us to Judges 6. And here you have Midian oppressing Israel. Why? Why? Read Judges 6. Verse 1, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. And you read through it, they were oppressed. They were sold into the hands of their enemy. Just like the Bible says, just like we read earlier. And it was because of their sin. Because they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Not what was evil in their own sight. Not they didn't do what was bad, what they thought was bad. But that's where we are again today. See, it's anything goes. It's any interpretation. Well, you can interpret the Bible any way you want to. Well, the most important way to interpret it is to the way God interprets it. What is evil in his sight? Doesn't matter what's evil in the sight of the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter what's evil in the sight of the president or the governor. It doesn't matter what's evil in my sight or yours either. It's what does God say? What is evil in his sight? And that is why we're in the mess we're in. It's because the people today don't care if it offends God. The things that are done, the laws that are passed, the way that that the people dress, the way the people pierce and tattoo themselves up, the way the people's heart have grown cold. Nobody cares if it offends God or not. It's just, well, I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with it. Oh, yeah? Well, who are you? Who are you? You make yourself out to God. And see, that's the false gods the false small g gods, the Baals that are served today. It's in the mirrors that we see those. It's self that is served today. It's self that is gratified today. Hooray for me and to hell with you. As my dad used to say, that's the way the world's attitude is. Wasn't his attitude. And it's not to be our attitude today. It's not. Now verse 7 of Judges 6. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not obeyed me. And see, he told them, this is why Midian's upon you. This is why you're oppressed. This is why you're sold, because you have not obeyed me. In America, that is the same reason why you are not blessed as a nation anymore. And Americans, that is why the illegal hordes have come in among you. That is why your children, 1 in 88, they claim, will get autism now. Let me tell you, when my oldest son was born 26 years ago, when God blessed me with him, autism was not in the vocabulary of the American public 26 years ago. It was not. Today, they say 1 in 88, and they get NASCAR race car drivers to promote that, and everybody goes, oh, okay. No, it's a curse. Because we have not obeyed God. Because we have not obeyed Jesus Christ. We haven't loved him with all our heart, mind, and soul. And we haven't loved our neighbors ourselves. And all that goes along with that. Because God says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you love God, don't kill. Don't kill 1,000, 10,000 babies a day in abortion. If you love God, don't covet. Don't commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. Don't steal. If you covet, you'll pay the penalty. It's as simple as that. If you love God, obey his commandments. Have no other gods before him. No more Allah. Uh-uh. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. Judges 6. They were oppressed because they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And like we read, verse 10, you have not obeyed me. Now, you know who comes on the scene then. Our pastor's done sermons and sermon series on it. And this is why, because we need it once again. This, it answers, it tells us why. And in several different times, several different ways, it tells us why this has happened. And it's the story of Gideon. And here in Judges 6, starting in verse 11, we're introduced to Gideon. And it says here, verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite, who... Joash the Abizarite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. See, he was a tax protester. He was sneaking around. He was doing his summer business in the winter location, or his winter business in the summer location, however you want to look at it. Okay? He was hiding out. He was trying to do what he could to get by. He wasn't some superhero. He wasn't a big, handsome man like David. He wasn't a big, strong man like Samson. No, he was just trying to get by. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Who, me? Valiant warrior? How do you figure that? That's had to be what Gideon was saying. What? Me? you know, are you been out in the sun too long? You're calling me a valiant warrior. I'm here hiding out from the guys, trying to meke out a little existence, trying to save a little bit. And if you read the first part of Judges 6, you'll read that when the Midianites came in with their livestock and their tents, they came in like locusts, and they left nothing behind them. They consumed everything when they came through. And they left Israel just to fend for themselves. And that's what Gideon was doing. He was doing his best to eke out an existence. Verse 13, then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?'" And he asked that question. What, valiant warrior, the Lord is with us? Then why are we in all this mess? Have you looked around and seen what's going on? But now the Lord has abandoned, this is how Gideon finishes this statement. "But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Gideon understood. He knew that it was the Lord that blessed and the Lord that cursed. It was the Lord that giveth and the Lord that taketh away. That was God Almighty and Jesus Christ his Son who gave blessings for obedience and pulled them away for disobedience as punishment and as a in an attempt to bring his people back to him. Verse 14, "The Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Go in this your strength.'" And I thank God above for our pastor, Peter J. Peters, who taught us this, who taught us the it's been there all along, but not everybody could see it, and we certainly didn't see it until the Holy Spirit worked through our pastor and showed it to us, opened our eyes, had the scales fall from our eyes. You know, we prayed, and I prayed, and we've prayed before. John has, Jason, this ministry, we continue to pray that our leader would have that Damascus Road experience, that he would be blinded, or she, whoever's elected, would be blinded, but would come to see and know Jesus Christ and have that repentance, have that conversion and repentance and be baptized and become a true Christian and lead this nation in a Christian manner. Because you know what? We were converted. I was converted. Weren't you, brethren? You know, Christ died for us while we, you and me, were yet sinners. And you know, if a sinner like me can be converted, a sinner like Trump or Clinton could be converted, if they can be, I could be converted, and I was. I could repent, and I did. Thank you, Lord, for it. So if they can repent and turn to him, I pray that they could. The Lord said to him, the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength." What was Gideon's strength? That he realized why he was having to beat out the wheat in the wine press. He realized why. He knew why Midian had come upon him, why they came upon him like the locusts of Joel and just consumed everything. And you can bet they didn't just take their sheep and their donkeys. You can bet they took their sons and daughters as well, just like our enemies come in today and take our sons and daughters. If they're not taken in a foreign war, they're taken by a Gomez or a Washington here in the country. Many of them are. And if they're not taken physically, they're taken spiritually by the ungodly influences that are upon them. Go in this your strength. See, that is our strength today, is to realize that, you know, it's not the Latinos, the Hispanics, the Mexicans' fault that have just invaded us from the south. It's not their fault. No more than it was Midian's fault in the time of Judges. It's not the Muslims' fault that they're coming in, doing what they're doing, beheading our people, strapping bombs to 12-year-olds to kill them and to kill us. coming in and having more children than we are. It's not their fault. They just are doing what they do. No more than it's the mosquito's fault when he bites you and gives you a big old whelp in mosquito season. He is just doing what he does. Now, you can either put up with the mosquitoes or you can get some bug spray, some off. You can make sure you don't have stagnant water around your ranch or your house. You can spray for them. And when they get on you and they start to bite you, you can smack them. Or you can just sit there and put up with it. It's up to you. But it's not the mosquito's fault. He's just doing what he's doing. See, it's our fault. It's our fault. And Gideon realized that. The Lord has abandoned us. And why? Because of our sin. Because the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And let me tell you, the Americans today do what is evil in the sight of the Lord today in the good old USA. How you like that, America? America, you are sinning before God. You are doing what is evil in His sight. How, you might ask? How? What have we done? Well, you're like the woman in Revelation who wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong. You don't think you've done anything wrong. Oh, but you have. Oh, but you have. You've put everything and anything before God Almighty and before Jesus Christ, His Son. You've allowed every other religion and small g God to come in and take over and teach your children. You've allowed the idols, whether it's American idols, sports idols, Hollywood idols, to come into your life and to lead you down the path of sin and to keep you bound in sin, in transgressing, in breaking God's law. You don't love your neighbors yourself. You don't share one another's burdens. You break His law. You allow murder to go on. You allow murderers to go unpunished. You allow the abominations that are abominations to God, and that's all that matters, who they're an abomination to. But you allow that to be taught to your children in the public fool system. You allow it in the streets. You read the story of Gideon. And Gideon goes on. And you know, how, oh Lord, he says in verse 15, how shall I deliver Israel? How am I supposed to do this? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. See, he was the least of the least. He wasn't, you know, David. You got to remember now, remember David was the youngest brother in his family. That's who God called. But Gideon recognized why, and he recognized the cause of their troubles. See, he believed, but the other thing that he did was he was humble about it. You know, David was humble about that. When you look at, you compare David and Saul, David was humble even when he sinned. He acknowledged it, and he sought and found humility. See, Saul never did. Saul never did. You go over to, I wrote these verses down in my study here for you, but I didn't write them down. Go over to Job 22, if you have it there. Job 22, a little bit further to the right from where we're reading in Judges. Job, right there before Psalms. Job 22, and let's read verses 29 and 30. When you are cast down, you will speak with confidence, and the humble person he will save. He will deliver one who is not innocent, and he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. So see, that tells me we're not innocent. No, we're guilty as charged. But when we are cast down by the world's standards, we can speak with confidence as Gideon did. And the humble person he will save. See, that's what you don't find in the Tea Party. You don't find any humility. You don't find any humility in the militia groups. You don't find any humility in the Aryan groups out there, Vanguard or whatever it might be. There's no humility. It's look at us. Look who we are. You read the story of Gideon. Gideon said, who, me? Who, me? I'm nothing. And even when he goes on through, you see, he's told, you know, first to go and to tear down the Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. See, he's told, put things back, you the least of the least. Go start fixing things. And he does. Now, he does it at night. Verse 27 says, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. But you know what? He did it. He did it. He was humble about it. And that is what, where God knew he was going to be that way. And that is, I think, one of the things that we need to get out of that story, is that we have to be humble before God. Job tells us that. The humble person he will save. Psalms 10:17 says, O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth will no longer cause terror. See, it's just the opposite of the world. But when we cry out to God, when we come to him in our humility and humbleness, our broken and contrite heart and spirit, well, then he hears. And then it moves him to come, as it moved the angel to visit Gideon. Isaiah 66, about out of time here tonight, didn't get to open the phone lines up, my apologies for that. Isaiah 66:2, for my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord, but to this one I will look, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. See, Gideon was humble and contrite of spirit, and Gideon trembled at the word of God. Read the story. Read what he does. And then even after Baal is the altar of Baal is destroyed, and then, you know, then comes the sign of the fleece that Gideon does, not once, but twice. And you see how Gideon presents it. You know, Gideon says to God, do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. See, he comes to God with that, as we read in Isaiah 66:2. Humble, contrite of spirit, trembling at God's word. He feared God. Oh, yes, he loved him, but he feared him. That is to whom God looks. It really is. And if we will be that way today, God will look favorably upon us. In our lives, in our homes, in our jobs, in the things that we are called to do, he will. Well, I hope you got something out of it. Maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about Gideon. I've got a few more things I want to share with you, but we're out of time. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wrangler, and we'll have the phone lines open Saturday morning, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. Nope, that's Sunday church times. How about 7 a.m. Saturday morning? There we go. 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Saturday morning. That's how live radio goes, folks. Thanks again for joining us. Keep us in your prayers. We pray for you. We'll be right back.